Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Disya kaṃso hata papo. Disya mukta suridjana.
Disya mukta suridjana.
Nahatya nirjitya ripum. Disya dogam samasrita.
Disya dogam samasrita.
Kamsa.
Kamsa.
What does Kamsa mean? Yes, Kamsa.
What does it mean?
Kamsa. The person whose name is Kamsa. Hata.
Hata.
Killed.
Papo.
Papo. That means sinful. So distya, what does distya mean? By good fortune. Now, how many times does that word appear? Three times. So when something appears so frequently in a verse, what do we think? We should take special note of that word, and we will find some great irony in this. And this is the way the Brijbasis speak, with great irony and deep internal meaning. So what does distya mean? By good fortune. Mukta.
Mukta.
Freed.
Suridj.
Jana.
Dear
relatives. Nahatya. Killing. Nirjitya.
Conquering.
Ripun.
Enemies.
Distya.
Distya.
What does distya mean? Durgam. A fortress. Samasrita.
Taken shelter of.
So here is the translation. I'll read it one time, and then please repeat it. It is our great fortune that sinful Kamsa has been killed and our dear relatives freed. It is also our good fortune that our relatives have killed and defeated their enemies and found complete security in a great fortress. Now, what is the great fortress that's being referred to? Dwarka. And what enemy had been killed to establish the Yadu dynasty in Dwarka? There's Kamsa, of course, and then? And what happened after Kamsa was killed? Yes, Jarasandha, because Kamsa was married to Jarasandha's daughters. So they all went back to their father after Kamsa was killed. What happened? Krishna has killed our husband. And Kamsa was demonic. Kamsa was demonic in Jarasandha. Although a great follower of the Vedic principles, had missed the point of the Vedas. And he was demonic. And he immediately attacked the city of
Mathura.
And with so many 17 Akshohini, 7,000s and thousands and thousands and millions of fighters, he attacked the city of Dwarka, surrounding it. And Krishna and Balaram came out and destroyed everyone, the whole army, because Krishna's purpose, one of the purposes of his advent, was to vinasaya cha duskritam, to remove the burden of the earth, of the heavy demoniac forces. So he killed them, and then they captured Jarasandha. And then what did Krishna and Balaram do after capturing Jarasandha? They let him go. Now, for a person of a Kshatriya nature, his enemies captured him, destroyed his armies, and tied him up, and then said, okay, you can go now. Such an insult. You're not a threat at all. Go away. So Jarasandha, he attacked again. He gathered his armies again and attacked again. And the same thing happened. They tied him up, killed all the armies, and let him go. Go away. And then this happened, I believe, 17 times. And finally, there was the Yadu dynasty had insulted Gauga Muni. And Gauga Muni decided, oh, you're so proud. I'll have a child who's going to be a Yavana child who's going to give you complete anxiety and fear. So that Yavana child of Jarasandha, of Gauga Muni, I think it was Gauga Muni, was named
Kali Yavana.
He was a Yavana. And he attacked the city of Mathura with also at the same time that Jarasandha attacked. And this led to what happening?
Huh?
Yes, that's one thing that happened. And what else? Because Krishna does many things with one thing. Huh? He built Dwarka so that to give the residents of Mathura a safe place. Raise your hand if you've been to Dwarka. Yes. There's Krishna is there as Dwarkadish. Krishna in his office. God in his office, the commander in Dwarka. So the city of Dwarka was built, and Krishna ran from the battlefield. And what name did he attain by running from the battlefield? Ranchorji. He left the battlefield. So everything that Krishna does is so wonderful. And also, what happened? At this time, Krishna was unmarried. Huh? Yeah, he became married to Princess Rukmini at this time too. So many wonderful things happen. So they're saying, it is also our good fortune that our relatives have been killed and defeated, and have defeated their enemies because they are related, the residents of Vrindavan and Nanda Maharaj and half-brothers, they're related to the Yadu dynasty. So it is great fortune that our relatives have killed and defeated their enemies and found complete security in a great fortress. Please repeat. It is our great fortune that sinful Kamsa has been killed and our dear relatives freed. And who are the dear relatives that were freed? Vasudev Devaki, and also so many of the Yadus were in hiding because Kamsa was so cruel, and the Vrishni dynasty and the Bo, everyone was hiding. He was terrible. And it is also our good fortune that our relatives have killed and defeated their enemies
and
found complete security in a great fortress. Now, who is speaking this verse? Not the cowherd boys, but it just says the cowherds. Meaning, the cowherds could. It's not clear, but it's which persons. But it's the all the residents of Vrindavan are considered cowards because their maintenance and their livelihood comes from the cows, taking care of the cows and the land. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Gobramani Tayata Jagari Taya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama. This is just how amazing it is. And then I'll ask a question, so to say, at this point. How amazing it is that when that all-powerful Supreme Person makes his choice of where is he going to live, and how does he choose to live? He chooses to live a simple village life, taking care of the cows, such auspiciousness, such peace, such a lesson for humanity. He doesn't choose to live in a big city and be supported by manufacturing auto parts or something like that. He can do whatever he wants. And this is his choice. So there is something very special about his choice. Of course, that choice is specifically Sri Vrindavan Dham, which is the most special of all places. But yet, even aside from the fact that it's Vrindavan, the choice of the way, the lifestyle that Krishna lives is so significant. He's telling us that the further we move from that type of a life, putting it a little differently, the more crazy everyone is going to become. And that's really the reality of contemporary so-called civilization. Everyone is crazy. Just a feverish fire burning in the body and the mind. How am I going to enjoy? How am I going to accumulate and enjoy, enjoy, enjoy? And the result of moving away from a true method of enjoyment, living in a simple, pure, wholesome way, moving away from that village type of enjoyment, which is ideal and simple, and trying to become, to gain enjoyment through basically from Rajagun, the mode of passion, accumulating desires, increasing one's desires and wants and thinking, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. I want, I need, increasing one's desire. The further we move from that, the less happy we become. So that is some of the irony of material nature that it imposes upon us. The further we move from simplicity and basic living in the mode of goodness with the desire to become happy, 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 happy by increasing basically, by touching and playing with the mode of passion, the result of that is less happiness, an increased amount of desires, geometrically increased numbers of desires, and geometrically decreased satisfaction, an increase of chinta, anxiety. That's the increase of Kali Yuga, anxiety, discontent, fear, and everything that follows these, that follows the mode of passion, born of the mode of ignorance. Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samud Bhava. So, the cowherds are speaking to Balaram, and what is the irony of their words? What word is mentioned three times? Vishya, by good fortune. What is the irony? What are they saying when they're saying, by good fortune, sinful Kamsa has been killed, and our dear relatives immature, free. By good fortune, our relatives have killed and defeated their enemies, such as Jarasandha and Kaliyavan, and found a complete security in a great fortress in Dwarka, and are living with... Who has done all this, actually? Who has killed Kamsa? Krishna. Who has killed... defeated their enemies of the Yadu dynasty? Jarasandha is Krishna. And who has established Dwarka? Krishna. But is Krishna's name mentioned?
No.
Why? Yes, but look, it's, they're talking about it is our good fortune. It is our good fortune. It is our good fortune. But are they feeling good fortune even in the slightest bit? They are feeling what? Most unfortunate. By talking about their good fortune, they're emphasizing their own great misfortune. Because in the absence of Krishna, for those who love Krishna, nothing, nothing is the cause of fortune. And this is really our situation too. Because we are missing Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan are separated from Krishna, but because Maya, there is no Maya, Maya cannot touch them in the slightest way. There is no illusory energy. There is no modes of, there are no modes of material nature. They are fully with Krishna. They cannot be separated from Krishna. In fact, but in their missing Krishna, it causes ecstasy. Because they have love for Krishna. And we, being separated from Krishna, are trying to fill up our lives with so many other things. And the cause and the result is not at all ecstasy, but it is increasing misery, increasing loneliness. The Brijvasis appear to be completely lonely because they're missing Krishna. Sunyayate jagat sarvam, the whole universe. What does sunyayate mean?
Zero.
It's empty, it's void, it's nothing. Has anyone ever had this experience? When you lose something that you really value, and you walk outside and the weather may be beautiful, or this may be happening, you see people riding around on their bicycles enjoying life and whatever, or there's nothing, nothing has any taste to it. Sunyayate, everything, you add up the totality of the happiness in the universe, and when you're bereft, it adds up to zero, nothing, it's all void, it's useless, it's meaningless. The residents of Vrindavan are like that, and in that, and what is that called? What's the Sanskrit word for when we miss Krishna, when we're separated from Krishna, we just turn our back and look somewhere else for something to do, for some pleasure. And when the residents of Vrindavan are separated from Krishna because their love is so intense, what do they do? They turn to Krishna, 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 Krishna. Govinda Damodar Madhuveti. They just turn to Krishna, 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 Krishna. They have nothing but Krishna. This is what it means. This is spiritual life. And this is the, really, this is the, this is the only way to live a spiritual life. Being in the material world is to have Krishna, our full shelter. The residents of Vrindavan have that plus so much more. But for us, this is what we ought to learn at least. We are looking for a shelter in the material world. Forget it. You're not going to find shelter. Where? Just think about it. Think about what's going to... Think about it. Not out loud, maybe. But but inside, think of all the things that where we go mentally when there's difficulty or we're missing something. What do? We feel miserable. We feel angry. We go... materialistic people that go and drink something or get drunk or something, or go to the movies, or who knows, go out and kill somebody or something, you know. Get in the car and go for a drive, kick your dog, something. But the devotees, they just call out to Krishna ever deepeningly. And in that, having no other shelter other than Krishna, Krishna is there. Krishna is there. And that's what happens. When Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he never leaves Vrindavan, even when he leaves Vrindavan. This is, so many of the acharyas have described this. When Krishna goes, leaving Vrindavan, Akura is taking him, and they stop at the Yamuna to bathe. Krishna and Balaram, the exact junction between Vrindavan and Mathura. In Akuragat. Raise your hand if you've been to Akuragat. Yeah. You were there? You're too little. You weren't there. And there, what happened wonderful? What wonderful thing happened at Akuragat? Akura went to bathe. Krishna Balaram was seated on the chariot. And what happened? He saw them in the water. As Lord Vishnu. And Lord Balaram was an antashesha. And he offered wonderful prayers, Akura did. And then he came back to the chariot, and lo and behold, what did he see? Who did he see on the chariot? Krishna Balaram. He had just seen them in the water in the form of Lord Vishnu and Anantashesha, and then he got back and saw them on the chariot. And Krishna said to him, "Oh, Uncle Akura," because Akura looked, he saw after seeing Lord Vishnu in the water of the Yamuna, he came back and said, "Krishna Balaram's still there on the chariot." And he was surprised. So Krishna said to him, very innocently, "Oh, uncle, you look so surprised. Have you seen something wonderful in the water?" And Akura replied very, very intelligently that the wonder I'm seeing now as I'm looking at you is the most wonderful thing, because this is, I'm paraphrasing and adding some of the meaning to what he was saying. There's nothing more wonderful than what I'm seeing now, and that's you, because you are the source of Lord Vishnu and Anantashesha Krishna Balaram in the water. They're all contained in you. So I'm seeing you, and although externally, superficially, there's no display of opulences, but you are the most wonderful things, person to see. Now I'm seeing the most wonderful thing. And then they got on the chariot and went to Mathura. And then, of course, Krishna killed Kamsa and so many things. But Krishna, it is said, It is said in Stala Praman, Loka Praman, Vrindavana, Krishna actually, he went to Mathura, and Prabhupada explains it in Krishna book, he went to Mathura in his Vasudeva form, and he stayed in Vrindavan. And he didn't go to Agra. There's two of them over there. Come over and sit and fold your hands. It'll be very good. Come. So, the residents of Vrindavan, and this is Jiva Goswami describes this in Krishna Sandava. Krishna remains in Vrindavan always in uprakat form. What does uprakat mean? Not apricots, but uprakat means what?
Unmanifest.
So what does unmanifest mean? How could you stay somewhere in an unmanifest form and still be there? Because unmanifest means that you're not there, practically speaking. But what does it mean when Krishna is there in uprakat form? What does it mean? He's not visible to from our position, but on a different platform, also a spiritual platform, but an invisible to the material world platform, Krishna continues to perform his pastimes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when Krishna went back, when he left Mathura, he also went with a whole different, he went back when the cowherd men left Mathura for Vrindavan again, Krishna also went back with them. Krishna can do amazing, most wonderful things, unlimitedly amazing, wonderful things, continuously, because he's unlimitedly powerful. Unlimitedly powerful. So he remains always performing his nityalila, his pastimes, in an invisible way, an uprakat lila, as it is called. He's always performing these. But what makes the invisible visible? Which was the question Anirudha Prabhu asked yesterday, or part of the answer to the question. What makes the invisible, uprakat, unmanifested lila accessible? Huh? Yes, but such intense devotion. Such intense devotion that Krishna, practically speaking, in the uprakat lila, he manifests, he can't keep away. And this is Krishna, this is who we're dealing with. That he remains forever in debt to his devotees, and he cannot keep away from them. He cannot keep away from the love of his devotees. It conquers him. So that uprakat lila, where Krishna is continuously, eternally manifesting, it manifests within the consciousness of the residents of Vrindavan, and in their Varaha Bhava, which means their mood, intense mood of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna is gone. In this very mood, Krishna is not here, Krishna is not here. Oh, when will Krishna come back? Krishna, 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 and thinking about him all day long, all night. No eating, no sleeping, just Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And that, with that intensity of love, Krishna completely manifests in their consciousness and they're living with him continuously. On this level. This is wonderful. This is truly wonderful. And this is beyond our comprehension. In fact, we can understand something about it. We can understand it somewhat on the intellectual platform, but when there is love for Krishna, of the intensity of the Vrajavasis, Krishna cannot stay away. Bhavati nam marapanam. He cannot stay away. And there's also in, I won't tell you where this is from, but the word Dishya, what does Dishya mean? Dishya. By good fortune. Dishya yad asin matsneho bhavatinam marapanam. I'm not going to tell you where that's from. Why? One reason could be I don't know where it's from, but that's not the reason in this case. Because we should study, we should read, we should absorb, we should find interest in the books, because in the books there is Krishna. Krishna is there. And all the instructions, the Bhagavatam teaches three things, sambandhagyana, videya, and prayojana. Means the truth, you know, the actual tattva of how to, what reality actually is, and the process of attaining the highest spiritual truth, and then what that highest spiritual truth is. It isn't, I may tell you, to merge into Brahman. It isn't. This isn't the absolute truth. This isn't the highest realization. Which means the removal of our miseries, which is generally what most of us tend to be interested in life. You know, as you get older, you know, your dreams become shattered, and you know, and it's just the struggle for existence really manifests itself. And then all you can think of is, you know, how can I get free from all the difficulties in my life? All the things that I have walked, all the houses I have walked into, all the doors I have walked through that I thought were going to bring me pleasure turned to be filled with tigers and lions and bears and snakes, etc., etc., scorpions. Difficulty. So there's such a tendency to have in the consciousness an extremely dominant part being, help, let me get out of this, all this suffering continues. And this is true wherever one goes in the material world, of Brahma Bhuvana Loka, even in heaven itself, Australia.
Right.
Where there's what to speak of when this is in peacetime, when there's relative prosperity, what to speak of if when disasters strike. And they must, they always must. So, Dishya, so we should study, we should deeply, otherwise, at the time of our, when our departure comes from this world, when that time comes and it comes to everyone, we'll realize how much we have actually missed out getting the jewel that human life is supposed to award us. So Dishya, by great fortune, the same word, Yad Asin Matsneho, Krishna says, by great fortune, one attains sneha, affection for me, by that fortune itself, by that affection, marapanam, one will attain me. Yayitamam prapadyante, what does that mean?
It is a yoga surrender.
Everyone's being very humble and shy. Yeah, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So how does he reciprocate with those who love him? He cannot keep away from them. And therefore there is no lack, in the words of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there is no lack in this world other than bhakti, Krishna consciousness. Because if one has that, if one has that, that have taken shelter of Krishna and has developed love for Krishna, Krishna can't keep away from such a person. He cannot keep away from such a person. And then what will one lack? What lack will one feel if one has Krishna? What lack will one feel? Because all the lacks that we feel at this point are trying to fill up the place in our consciousness and the heart that's meant for Krishna. We're trying to fill it up with so many false things that really have no substance to them at all. They're just manadharma. They're just the imaginations and of the mind, practically, actually speaking. Oh, this is going, when I have this, then. It's all when I have this, and if then, and then I'll be happy, only if, and when I get this. And when you're young, young, married and things, only when I have children, and then when you're older, only when the children have grown up. But if we actually somehow or another develop love for Krishna, that is fortune. That is really the only fortune. Really the only fortune. So let's look at the verse again. The residents of Vrindavan who have the highest amount of love of Krishna, and Krishna is not with them at this moment, and they're feeling sanyayate jagatsa, the whole world is empty, and they're talking about their great fortune, that sinful Kamsa has been killed. And our dear relatives freed. And as they're saying this, their hearts are burning. Because Krishna is not there. And yet, in that mood of missing Krishna completely, Krishna is there completely. So which is the highest principle, to be missing Krishna or to be with Krishna? So to miss Krishna is the highest principle, but if you think missing Krishna is the highest principle, then you'll think that's better than being with Krishna, and then you'll never be missing Krishna. So they're talking about, oh, this is our good fortune. This is our good fortune. Kamsa, and indeed it is a good fortune that our relatives are finally safe. But really they're thinking, and we have no life in our bodies or in our minds, because the one thing that we want, the whole center of our existence, Krishna, is not with us, and that's all we care about. So we are just like zeros, and they're talking about fortune, 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 fortune. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Krishna cannot keep away. He cannot take one step from Vrindavan, because the residents of Vrindavan have bound him tightly with the ropes of their love. He cannot leave. No, I've never heard that. We could say that he is present in a manifest form in the Bhagavatam. That would be more accurate, because that's what Puranako Dhanoditaha, the Bhagavatam in Kali Yuga, Kalo Nasta Drishamesha Puranako Dhanoditaha. It manifests like the sun. But sometimes, do you ever have the experience that something, say you have, you can't find your pen or something, or your wallet, or your pen, simple. And then you're looking and you can't find it, and then oh, it was right there, right in front of me. What was that? So it's right there, right in front of our eyes, but we couldn't see it. We're hypnotized by Maya. Can't see it. So similarly, Krishna is there, but we can't see him. But he's here in the Bhagavatam. If we read carefully, even a little bit, we will see Krishna in every page, actually. So if we say that Krishna is unmanifest in the Bhagavatam, it's like saying the sun is unmanifest in the sky in the day because my eyes are closed. But unfortunately our eyes are closed a lot of the time. Any other questions or comments? I told you I wasn't going to tell you. But you can find it. You know how to find it? Huh? In the index. How old fashioned. Very good. In the books itself. But which book will you look? There's so many reasons to prove this point. That Krishna takes, because Yogamaya, because as in the simplest way, Krishna takes birth in Mathura, and then he's brought to Vrindavan by Vasudev, and Vasudev exchanges Krishna with the young girl born of Yasoda Devi, and then Kamsa brings her back to Mathura, Yogamaya, Subhadra Devi. And then Kamsa tries to kill her. Right? That's the simple way. But if that was true, if it was as simple as that, then how did the next morning, how did Nanda Maharaj perform the ceremony where the umbilical cord is cut for Krishna? If he's brought from Vasudev, if he's brought from Mathura, there's no umbilical cord to be cut. Yes? So this is described in the Bhagavatam. Another reason is because in the Bhagavatam, Subhadra Devi is known as, or Yogamaya is known as, the Anuja, or the younger sister of Krishna. So if they're brought over there from to Vrindavan from Mathura, how are they related and exchanged? Yes? So how to reconcile? And there's other reasons too. At the same time, it describes at the exact same time that when Vasudeva is leaving the prison house, not when Krishna is born, at that exact time not when Krishna is born in Mathura. At that same time, Yasoda Devi gives birth to Yogamaya. So then I can't remember how this reason works, but I'll look at it and I'll tell you later. But there's many reasons to show that the only way to reconcile these points is that at the same time as Vasudev Krishna is born in Mathura, Vrindavan Krishna is born to Yasoda Devi in Vrindavan. And then a twin younger sister, Anuja, then Subhadra Yogamaya is born right after Krishna. So that's the only way to reconcile, and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura has explained this in detail in his commentaries in the 10th canto. But it's very secret. Not much later, but a little bit later. So like when there's a twin sister, or the twins, one is born first and one is born second.
Isn't Subhadra a daughter of Devaki?
Yes, in the sense that he said, yes, in the sense that Kamsa thought that. No, even in the regular story as we hear it, Subhadra Devi is born of, as the youngest sister. Yogamaya is born as the youngest sister of Krishna, born from Yasoda, and then Vasudeva exchanges them, the children. I think there's a little more to it than that, but I can't remember what it is, unfortunately. But yeah, then exchanges them and brought back across the river Yamuna to Mathura, and there Kamsa tries to kill him. But it's not actually. And then Yogamaya says, Kamsa, you're such a fool, so cruel, you're trying to kill, you think you can kill me, but the child who was meant to kill you has already been born somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Did you have a question?
A question actually is from yesterday's class. You mentioned that in regards to approaching Krishna, some will be able to approach very quickly, but some will have to take a more gradual process. I'm wondering what it actually means to approach Krishna quickly. Do you remember what you were saying there?
Yeah. It means to fully surrender and place yourself under Krishna's protection. That's the fast way. Just, I am your servant. I'm whatever you want to do with me, however you want to treat me, I'm yours. No separate interest. Well, for different persons, it may mean different things. Because what surrender would be, of course surrender, this is what Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. This is where bhakti begins, this is the doorway to bhakti, is surrender. So Krishna, this is the final message of the Bhagavad Gita, Savatamam Pratyajam Mamekam Sharanam Braja, that you give up all forms of religion and just give yourself to me. So what that means, what is placing Krishna in the center and acting for Krishna's pleasure, what will please Krishna, that will be given to us by usually by our spiritual master and the Vaishnavas and Shastra. But basically in a generic way it means acting for Krishna's pleasure. So a slow, more gradual way is that, okay, I can't quite do that now. I can't give up everything. So what I'll do is I'll live my life in such a way that instead of my desires taking me away from Krishna in the exact opposite direction, but I live my life in such a way that my desires will be, I will fulfill them in such a way that they will bring me closer to Krishna, I'll come closer to Krishna. So I eat in such a way that brings me closer to Krishna. I have my means of livelihood, my family life, etc., etc., you know, and my social dealings, all in such a way that they bring me closer to Krishna. So that's so I can ultimately give myself to Him and place myself fully under His protection. This is the general principle. But if someone can just, I'm yours, Krishna, just whatever you want with me, however you want me to please you, I'll do that. Or even better than that, I know how to please you, so I'll do that. And then get it confirmed. Is that sort of clear? But for an individual, we need individual prescriptions, and also it's not proper to imitate. Say if we're not advanced enough to completely give ourselves to Krishna at this time. And of course one shouldn't prescribe for oneself. So then we get a prescription from our doctor, spiritual doctors, that is appropriate for us. One medicine may not be appropriate for everyone. And what's one surrender may not be another surrender. What is surrendered, so we can't imitate another person. We have to get a prescription for us. What will please Krishna? Is that all right?
Do we have to fully awake now our rasa with Krishna, like Sakya Vatsalya or Madhurya, fully awaken the realization of that rasa before we qualify to go back to Jalaka Vrindavan?
Yes. You have to go through the stages. That comes understanding our personal individual relationship with Krishna comes at a shakti, and then at that point that pulls us, we cannot live for a moment without Krishna, that pulls Krishna's mercy, and we by His mercy attain bhava bhakti, and that's still not enough, and it's prema bhakti, and that a lot comes by association, that what has to take birth and what Krishna is performing one's lila. But this is, and then it's technical. And of course one can say by Krishna's mercy anything is possible. But this is the process. And it's not like just like a strict rule that Krishna enforces. The fact is that until we have our relationship with Krishna, we want things of this world. So therefore we stay in this world because that's what we want. But as soon as we only want Krishna, as soon as we only want to love Krishna, then we're in Goloka Vrindavan. Is that alright? Okay. 9:00. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.